preachers everywhere. We don't need more preachers. We just need preachers with a clear message. And if they did, we could reach the world. But so many people are hearing so many different things, nobody knows what in the world to believe. I want to start off by saying, I know that I have eternal life. I know that I'm going to heaven when I die. I couldn't go to hell if I tried, and I haven't tried. But I can't go to hell. I know I'm going to heaven. And you can't know you're going to heaven until you know that you cannot go to hell. I believe what the Bible has to say. I didn't always believe that. But the Lord has been good to me because it was her dad that led me to the Lord. He won me to Christ. And I didn't know that he was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church for 20 years, but he told me about how to have eternal life. Now, you need to understand something. People get parts of these things, but they don't put it all together. All of these things are good and true that you hear about. You got to turn from your sin. Well, there's a place for that, and it's true. Now, you got to make Christ the Lord and the master of your life. Well, that's true. But it belongs in a certain place. See, a lot of things are true, but they don't belong at the same place at the same time. In other words, here's a mama. She's going to have a baby. Now, Johnny, will you promise me that you'll be a good little boy and you won't do anything wrong? Now, if you don't, I'm not going to let you be born. You don't make babies promise how they're going to live before they're born. You usually have the kid, and then you try to teach them right and wrong. True? Well, it's the same thing in the Christian life. You don't tell people how they have to live and promise to live in order for God to save you and give you eternal life and to go to heaven. You hear that the gift of God is eternal life, but most people don't really believe it. One of the most famous songs of all time is Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But people don't really believe it. Because, you see, they don't really believe that grace is grace. They believe that there's grace, and then there's your works, and that you have to get it lined up just exactly right. There. Now, a grace and how you live. And if you don't live right, then God takes us away. That might sound good, too. So take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans and chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And I want to show you just a couple of things that I think will help keep things clear. Romans chapter 11 and look in verse 6. So you got to boil it down. There is a place called heaven. There's a place called hell. And we're not there yet. God made both places. You and I are going to spend eternity somewhere. So where you go is the most important thing that can ever happen to you in this life, is making the right decision of where you're going to spend eternity. In other words, where are you going when you die? Well, most people say, well, you can't know until you die. You have to wait till you die to find out if you made it or not. So many people believe that you do all these good deeds and hope that they'll outweigh all the bad ones that you did. So when you stand before the judge, you know, and he puts on the scale and all the, your good deeds and all of your bad deeds, and you have to wait and decide which way you go. So you ask most people, where are you going tonight? Well, heaven, I hope. Well, I'm doing the best I can. Well, there's a better way of knowing. And even people who go to church most of their life, they have it in the back of their minds that how they live their life has some merit to it. That your eternal destination depends upon how you live. And if, because they still in their mind believe, you've got to deserve it. Somehow, you've got to have a role in this thing, and you've got to deserve it. Because you and I know, bad people do not deserve to go to heaven. Only us good ones. And we're the good ones. Because we go to church, and we read the Bible, and we pray. So we deserve to go to heaven. And those people that don't do what we do, they don't deserve it. Got some bad news for you. There are no good people. They're all bad. Even you. Even me. You see, to go to heaven, you have to be perfect. But now look there at this verse. And if, in verse 6, if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of work, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. In other words, it's either by grace or it's by works, but it's not a combination of both. If it's by grace, it cannot be by your works. But if it is by your works, it cannot be by grace. Now let me just show you how confusing it can be. Look up here. I got my coat on. That's work. My coat off. That's grace. So if you are saved by grace, then it can't be by works. Otherwise, grace isn't grace. But if it is by works, it cannot be by grace. Otherwise, work isn't work. Ain't that clear? But let's just pretend for a moment. That is, Yankee, the President of the United States wants you to come into his office. Yes, dear. Don't forget to put on your coat. Yes, dear. Now, I go to see the President of the United States. Don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Is my coat on? Is my coat off? In your own mind, how many say my coat is on? A few. How many say my coat is off? A few. How many of you are confused? Let me see your hand. More people raise their hand. Now why? Because I'm trying to mix the two. That's why so many people are confused about where they're going to spend eternity, because they've been told that it's by grace. But you better have the works. And if you don't have the works, this one ain't going to help. So they don't have assurance. They don't know for sure if they're going to go to heaven when they die. Now, I know that I have eternal life and I'm going to heaven when I die because, you say, why? Because I've been good. No. It's because somebody else was good. Somebody did something for me. Now, take your Bible very quickly and look in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, these are probably familiar verses to you. You've seen them maybe 1,000 times, but these are two of my favorite verses in the Bible. I got a lot of favorite verses, but these are two of them. So in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, look what it says there in verse 8. Make sure you're looking in your Bible. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of what? Remember, it's either by grace or it's by works, but it cannot be by both. True? The Bible does not contradict itself. Either I'm going to heaven because God gave it to me as a gift, or I've got to do my part. I've got to help. Let me tell you two things that will maybe help you to understand where I'm coming from. Multitudes of churches, and I travel all over and been doing it for 55 years. So here you are with preachers telling you, you got to turn from your sins in order to be saved. You ever heard that phrase? Turn from your sin to be saved. Now, it's not even in the Bible. But the term, turn from your sins. Oh, here's a lost man. Here stands a lost man. He does everything in the book. He's guilty. Does he have to turn from his sins in order to be saved? Well, if he could, he could save himself. But he can't. So he doesn't have to turn from his sins. What that means is you got to stop being bad. So is the good news going to all the world and tell everybody, stop being bad? Doesn't that really make you feel better? You don't have to stop being bad. It's like telling a chicken. Chicken, you stop acting like a chicken and I'll make you a dog. Well, when can the chicken stop acting like a chicken? You are born with a sinful nature. That means you sin naturally. Nobody had to teach you how to sin. True? You did pretty good on your own. Well, they say, well, you can't habitually commit sin. You know, you can't habitually do it. Well, that just means you're not supposed to practice sins. Well, everybody I know is a professional at it. So do you have to turn from sin? Then you get into a can of worms. If you had to turn from your sins, here I am, a bad boy, and I did all these bad things, so I give up my smoking. Now I'm going to heaven. No. I give up my drinking. Now I'm going to heaven. No. I start going to church. Because if you stop being bad, then you're told the opposite. You got to start being good. So before you can get saved, are you willing to turn from your sins, stop being bad? And are you willing to commit your life to Christ? Are you willing to promise you're going to serve the Lord? There's nothing wrong in committing a life to Christ. There's nothing wrong in serving God and dedicating your life to God. But if the lost man has to do that, that means he got to promise to be good. And he got to promise to Stop being bad. So would that be works for salvation? That if I don't do that, you mean I can't get saved? If I don't do this, you mean I can't get saved? You mean I can't get saved because I'm not willing to earn it, to deserve it? Because if I deserve it, means I'm willing to give up this and I'm willing to do this. That's not salvation. That has absolutely nothing to do with salvation and going to heaven when you die. A lost man, can stop drinking, smoking, dipping, and chewing, going with the girls who do. That doesn't make him saved. He didn't go to heaven because he stopped, so that has nothing to do with it. You're not going to heaven because, well, I go to church, I give money, I pray, I do all these good things. It doesn't even help. It has no value. The only thing that makes the difference is what Christ did for us. And he did it all of whatever needs to be done. But the thing is, it has to be done perfectly. Take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 7. You see, to go to heaven, you don't have to be good. Because, see, there is no such thing as a good heaven. There's only a perfect heaven. That means that there's no sin in heaven. Not even one. Revelation 21, 27, not even a lie. No sin. No sin. And the only way you can live for eternity is that you have to be perfect. No flaws. No mistake. No sinful nature. So the Bible says there in chapter 7 of the book of Hebrews, look in verse 19. For the law, which was by your works, made nothing, what's the word? Perfect. The law cannot, did not make you perfect. In other words, it doesn't help you to go. God gave the law to show that you can't earn your righteousness by your works. So the law was to point a person to Christ, so you'll trust Christ as your Savior and not have any confidence in your works, because no man has ever lived good enough to go to heaven. So the law showed you that you're a sinner. I am a sinner. I've sinned. I'm guilty. I cannot save myself. Jesus Christ did that. Now take your Bible and look there at another verse with me real quick. In Hebrews in chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And you'll notice that there's a verse here in chapter 10 in verse 1. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto what? Perfect. In other words, it can't do the job. They made these sacrifices every year. They confessed their sins all the time, confessing your sin, confessing your sin. That doesn't save anybody and doesn't make you perfect. There's only one thing that can qualify you to go to heaven, and that is the perfect gospel. The glorious gospel means, as the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, or the perfection of God. So the gospel message that we tell people is supposed to make that person, if they believe that gospel, is supposed to make them perfect at that very moment and good to go. You say, what does a perfect person look like? Not really. For example, you got out of bed this morning. Say you looked in the mirror. You looked in the mirror, and you were ugly. You came to church. You trust Christ as your Savior. You go home and look in the mirror. You're still ugly. God did not change that physical body of yours. You see, and I'll use a simple illustration. This arm right here, this is our first birth. This is when we're born into the world. That's what I see is your first birth, your flesh birth, your physical birth. You were born with a sinful nature. Because you have a sinful nature, you sin. And because the wages of sin is death, we die and spend an eternity separated from God in a literal fire burning hell. But God loves us. It's that sinful nature that we have that is our problem. It's why we do what we do. And so God says, these that are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. You're not a child of God because you have a Well, I love God. I love God. I don't care if you do or not. That doesn't save anybody. You don't go to heaven because I love God. I'm going to heaven because God loved me. God so loved the world, God loves it. But because we're all in the same boat, God says, you cannot save yourself. It's not by your works. You don't deserve heaven. Grace means you don't deserve it. For by grace are you saved. You're saved by grace, not by your works. I want to drill that into everybody's mind because most people never get it. They just get, you can't tell me that's too easy. That is so simple. That is, it can't be that easy. You got to do something. And God says, no, you can't. No. So God says you need a new birth. Nicodemus comes to see Jesus in John chapter 3. And he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus says, I'm impressed. No, he says, you must be born again. You must be born again. Now, if you get born again and all you got is another flesh birth, it didn't help you. So it's not a matter of trying to get this guy saved in that sense. God says you need a new birth. So I was born into this world 1942. A long time ago. So I was born into this world. I was 18 years old when I heard the gospel, the good news that if I accepted Christ as my Savior, he would give me eternal life and I would become God's child. So that night in Athens, Georgia, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior because I believe he died on the cross and paid for my sins. And so I believed it. That very day, that very moment, that hour, that second, when I believed it, God gave me a new birth. It was a spiritual birth. It's not this one. God did not do anything with my first birth. God gave me a brand new birth. This one here. This one is born of God. This one is born of the flesh. So God wanted to give me a new birth that had no sinful nature. Because if I have to be perfect to go to heaven, then God had some way to make me perfect. How is that? Give me a new birth without a sinful nature. This one is born of God. God is my Father. God has no sinful nature. So his child has no sinful nature. If it has no sinful nature, it cannot sin. It does not sin. And if it does not sin, it cannot die. And if it cannot die, how long will I be a child of God? For all eternity. That happened to me 61 years ago. And I can never be unborn. One of these days, I'm going to die. But that's this guy. Not this one. And now I've got these two natures living inside of one body. Buddy, have I had a problem? I never had problems until I understood this. But understand this. When I said you can't know you're going to heaven till you know you can't go to hell. You see, this one can't go to hell. That's why God gave me a new birth. Born of God. This one is perfect, just, righteous, holy. Doesn't come short of God's perfection. It is perfection. What the law could not do, what I could not do because of my good work or bad work, I could not give me a new birth. That comes from God. So when I trusted him as my Savior, I got something. I got a new birth. I'm now a child of God. I still got this old flesh over here. And he still is a problem to me. He's a problem for everybody. But understand this. When Christ died on the cross, why did he do that? To pay for my sins. Because I was guilty and I'm supposed to pay for my sins. And so I was going to die and go to hell. So Jesus Christ, who loved me, paid for my sins. Now think, if he died 2,000 years ago and paid for my sins, then why should I or you, why should we go to hell and pay for our sins if he already paid for our sins? If he's already paid for your sins. I was in a restaurant just the other day, and I told the person, I says, how many times do I have to pay for this? She says, once. I said, I don't have to do it twice? No. I said, if Christ paid for all the sins of the world, yours, Why should you and I, why should we have to go to hell and pay for sin if he already paid for it? He said, I never thought about that. I said, think about that for a minute. So when Christ died on that cross and paid for my sins, he came back from the dead. And the only thing he wanted me to do in order to go to heaven and for that to be any value to me at all, he says, all I want you to do is believe I did that for you. Can you handle that? If all he wanted you to do is believe he did it for you, then he puts that payment he made to your account. Now, I got a payment for my sins. See, the reason I can't go to hell today is I don't have any sins to pay for. It's the only reason. It's not, well, I go to church and I read the Bible and I try to be good. That has nothing to do with anything. It's because Christ paid for my sins. I can't go to hell because I don't have any sins to pay for. And the reason I can't go to hell in the future, he paid for those too. How many of my sins were in the future when Christ died? All of them. Well, if he paid for all of my sins, and I believe he did it for me, these five words, five of those powerful words in the Bible, Christ died for my sins. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. It's the only reason anybody will ever get to heaven. Nothing else adds to it. You can't add anything else to it. It's not the way you live that has zero effect. Some people say, well, I can't believe that some people, they just live like the devil and they think they can go to heaven. Everybody lives like the devil. We're all children of rebellion. We all have the spirit of wickedness in us. And every person in this room, including me, are capable of every sin in the book. You read the Bible and you'll find out this old man over here, he's a bad man. And I got this whole sinful nature. It did not get improved. I haven't been able to do away with him. He has not been eradicated. And every person in this room, you're capable of still anger and hatred and malice and envy and jealousy and bitterness. And yes, adultery and fornication, homosexuality, murder, you name it. And every person in here is capable of committing any sin because you still have an old sinful nature. God did not take it away. But what God did do, is I'll help you explain it. This is a boxing ring up here. You can picture this is a boxing ring. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Mike Tyson? He likes to eat ears. And he'll tell you, I'm a bad man. And he's a bad man. And he's a pretty good boxer. Cassius Clay. So I'm the greatest of all time. No, he ain't. The Lord is. But anyway, when you trust Christ as your Savior, this old nature you have is like having a Mike Tyson in the boxing ring. And then along comes you, and you trust Christ as your Savior, and you're just a babe in Christ. There's a little baby back there. But there's a babe in Christ. Would you put that little baby in this ring and say, now, little baby, this body that you have, that old devil over there, he wants to dominate this ring and he wants to use this body, but I'm giving it to you and I'm leaving you in charge. And Mike Tyson over here says, not by the hair of my chinny chin chin. So you have a battle going forth, and that's what it is in your life. And here you are and you say, well, I think I have a course. And your new birth post says, no, you ain't. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Some of you got up this morning, I think I'll go to church. No, you're not. You're going to stay home and watch Batman. Some Christians are so spiritually skinny they could use a Cheerio for a hula hoop. So you see, you're supposed to grow strong in the Lord. So you study the Word of God. You memorize Scripture. You pray and you do all the things and become strong. Why? Because you got a battle on your hands. So here you are. How in the world can this little babe in Christ go up against a Mike Tyson that has all this years of experience? Because he says, I was here first. You see, your physical flesh birth, that was first. Your sinful nature, that was first. Then you come, you trust Christ as Savior. He gives you a new birth and he puts you in the ring. But he doesn't leave you there. You know what he does? He says, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the power of God, goes into that ring with you. So where does the Holy Spirit live? Inside of me, inside of this body. So I have with me the same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. I have the Holy Spirit living inside of me. And all He wants this child to do is to grow and trust me. Look to me. And I'll lead you and I'll guide you and I'll protect you. And here's this old Mike Tyson over here, and all he wants to do is dominate, and he doesn't want you to have to use this body for God's glory. So you want to use it for the Lord's glory, and that one does it, and so you have a war. Haven't y'all experienced some of this battle going on in your life? I want to serve God. I don't. I do. I don't. I want to witness. No, I don't. I want to read the Bible. Not now. And you'd be surprised, and you battle. And a lot of Christians never have any victory in their whole Christian life. So take your Bible and turn to, very quickly, to the scripture over there in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1. I want you to see what the scripture says. I am not making up what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is the book. It is Bible. And it's the truth. So there in verse 23, he says, being born again. Get this, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. You were born again by the incorruptible seed, which is the word of God. You heard the gospel. You believed it, and God gave you a new birth. He didn't take this old man and try to change this old man. That's a waste of time. And that's where a lot of people are, trying to get this person here to stop all of their sins. It won't work. He can't stop his sins. He has a sinful nature. Just because you take the apples off the tree, that means it's not an apple tree anymore? Take the peaches off. Oh, it's not a peach tree anymore. No, you can cut things out of your life. I know a lot of people, they used to... Well, I quit. Okay. Now, they quit. Now they're saved. Did popping that cigarette, that they, I'd rather you smoke here than smoke later. Yeah, you won't get that, so forget it. Look what it says. When you're born of the Word of God, in verse 23, which liveth and abideth for how long? This new child being born of God, born by the incorruptible, means it's not possible to ever lose it. Not possible to ever sin. This birth is forever. And that's why he says in verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth for how long? Forever. For this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. If the gospel we preach doesn't make a person perfect at that moment he believes, it is no value. If I am a wicked old good-for-nothing sinner, and today I trust Christ as my Savior, I'm good to go. Why? Because I got a new birth. That new birth is perfect. And it'll never change all my life. Now, my flesh over here, and God says this, for me as an individual, walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because you still have them. You still got the lust of the flesh, and you know it. But you don't have to fulfill those desires. So what you do is you start satisfying these little desires to do what God wants you to do, and next thing you know, these desires grow and grow. Next thing you know, I fill my life so much with doing what God wants me to do, I don't have time to do what the flesh wants to do. I've been doing what I've been doing for a long time. And I have no intentions of slowing down now. I feel like at 80 years old, I'm just in my prime. I'm just ready to start doing something. I'm not ready to fold it up, give it up. I love telling people how to have eternal life, how to go to heaven when they die. I was down in Belize, in a country down in Central America, and there was a girl behind the counter. And I looked at her and I says, ma'am, I says, did you know that God loves you so much, He would rather die than live without you? She looked up at me, and she didn't say a word. She just stared at me, and tears filled her eyes, and she just started bawling. All because of that one statement. Did you know that God loves you so much, He'd rather die than live without you? God loves you that much. And it doesn't matter what you've done or what you're going to do. God loves you. And God says He'll give you, He's a free gift, everlasting life. I talked to her a little bit more and she trusted Christ as her Savior. Oh, so sweet. So wonderful. Have you ever heard people say, make the statement, I'm just dying to get this job. Or I'm just dying to go to this place. I'm just dying to meet this person. The only one who ever said that and really meant it was Jesus. He was dying to meet you. He was literally willing to die just so that you'd have a chance. Because without salvation, you can't meet Him. You can't see Him face to face. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, because He died, He paid for my sins, gave me a new birth. I didn't deserve it. I didn't do anything to get it. I didn't stop anything, join anything. But after I trusted Christ as my Savior and knew I had eternal life, you know, I began to see how much God loved me. And so I began to want to clean up my own life. So as a Christian, should I depart from iniquity? Yes. But not to get to heaven. I've already got my new birth. There's nothing I can do to change that. It's just like when you're born in this world. We had three children the hard way. One wife. And when the kids are obedient, they're mine. And when they're disobedient, they're hers. No, they're still our kids. We love them. And because of that, you can't unborn them. We tried. Grandkids is the reward for not killing your teenager. You just thought about it. But understand, this battle is real and the battle goes on. And so once you trust Christ as Savior and He gives you eternal life, and you know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. Let me show you a simple illustration. You got to watch this real close. Watch my hand very closely. At no time will my hand ever leave my wrist. Some of y'all are all right. And then there's a few of you just sat there. I hope you get hiccups. Look up here. This hand represents you and me. The wallet represents sin. Now, we all have sin on us. God loves us. He hates what we do wrong, but He loves us. But He says, since we've all sinned, the wages of sin is death, we're all going to die. That's why I've heard people say, well, I don't sin. I haven't sinned in 20 years. That means you won't die. But it seems like everybody dies because everybody sins. And the wages of sin is death. So if you end up in death, it's because of sin, whether you want to admit it or not. Here, God loves us, but He hates our sin. And the pay for sin is death in hell. But God wants us to go to heaven. But to go to heaven, you've got to be perfect, no sin. Oh, that's impossible. By our work, we can never improve ourselves. There's nothing we can do. We cannot save ourselves. That's why God sent Christ. This is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. He came into the world because He loves us. He hates our sin because our sin separates us from Him. So Jesus Christ, who had no sin, He didn't have to die. But because He loved us, He said this, that the world may know that I love the Father, even so I do. That's in John 14, 31. He says, I do this because I want the world to know that I love my Father. So Christ came and took all the sin of all the world, all sin, all the world, every person, paid for it on the cross, came back from the dead. And He says, the only thing He wanted me to do to go to heaven is believe He did that for me. So whenever somebody says, Yankee, where are you going today? I'm going to heaven. Why? Because of what He did for me. Don't you ever say it's because of what you did for Him. You didn't do anything for Him. You don't deserve it. No good deed have you done. There is none good, no, not one, not one. All our righteousness is filthy rags. Not all the good things you do, all of the bad things, all the good, the righteous is as filthy rags in God's sight. So Christ paid for your sins. Came back from the dead. Said all He wanted you to believe He did it for you, and then you can say, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You see, if it isn't free, then you can't know you're going to heaven. If it depends in any way on how you live, you'll have to wait till you die to find out. But I don't have to wait till then. I already know you ain't going to make it because it's not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then he says this in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You see, I'm not seeking to be saved. I already am. I was given a new birth. This new birth can never be lost. So I'm not trying to be justified. I've already been justified. I'm not trying to be sanctified. I already am. I'm not trying to be a child of God. I already am. Do you understand what I'm saying? This means yes. This means no. Do you understand what I'm saying? It goes like this. Yeah. Someone says, is he through yet? Watch this. God so loved the world, gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. John 3:16 gives you two guarantees. Whosoever believeth, that's all he required. You'll believe he did it for you. Two things. Guarantee, you will not perish. I can't go to hell. But have everlasting life. I go to heaven. That's all in John 3:16. The best news in the world. And I enjoy traveling the world and telling people how to have the free gift of everlasting life. Now, let me ask you this. If you were to die right now, where would you go? If I was to die right now, this old flesh body of mine would go to the grave. That's just a shell. Real nuts gone. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And Jesus says, he that believeth in me shall never die. But if he die, yet shall he live. Did it? Jesus taught this. I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. Try John 3:16. The whole chapter. So what do you have to do to go to heaven? Simply believe that what Christ did, he did it for you. And you trust him and him alone. Let's pray, shall we? With every eye head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. I want to ask you a question. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, and all he wanted you to do is believe he did it for you, can you handle that? So in the quietness of this moment, just between you and the Lord, could you just say something simple like this? Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And I believe that when Christ died, he died for me. And I will trust him right now as my Savior. I believe he did it for me. And friend, if you'll believe that he did it for you, God said he would save you and give you a new birth. And you get to go to heaven whenever you die. So when you leave this building, you can say, I know I'm going to heaven because today that made sense to me. Not trusting a church, not trusting a preacher, not trusting your own good work, but trusting only what Christ did for you. God said he would save you and give you eternal life. Would you do just that much? And if you're making that decision with heads bowed and eyes closed, would you just let me know by raising your hand? Raising your hand does not save you. Walking forward doesn't save you. Signing a card, all those things, that doesn't save anybody. It's where you believe it. God sees your heart. Would you just let me know? Because I have no way of knowing. And I like to know if what I said made sense. And if what I said made sense to you and you say, yes, I trusted Christ as my Savior this morning. You've already done it before. You don't have to do it again. But would you just let me know by an uplift of the hand and say, preacher, that made sense to me. And today I will trust Christ as my Savior. And I'd like you to pray for me in closing. Would you just lift your hand up very quickly and put it right back down? Is there anyone at all? Anyone at all? Just flip it up and put it right back down. If you've already trusted Christ as Savior, you never have to worry about it again. But if you're watching online, remember that's the only thing you need to do right where you are, where you accept Christ as your Savior. And if you trust him, he gives you eternal life, and you can know that you're going to heaven whenever you die. Father, we thank you again for your blessings. Thank you for this time together. We ask your blessings upon the church. And thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given me to share your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.